So we're continuing our class on Shalom Bayit, studying the book Gan HaShalom by Rabbi Shalom Arush. Before we continue, Rabbi Reuven has a question that he wants to ask us. Yes, Rabbi Reuven.
Just about honor.
Yeah.
Hashem created us because for honor. We live in this world to give honor to Hashem.
Okay.
When we not give honor to Hashem, there is a problem. So Hashem cannot stay in the same room. When you look for honor, Hashem cannot stay in the same room.
Okay.
So the woman is the mirror, huh? Uh-huh. Because when she needs honor.
Right.
Yeah? When you not give her honor,
yes.
You give honor to other people, she cannot stay in the same room with you. So it means she is like the mirror from Hashem.
Yes, the marriage relationship is a mirror, in some way, a template for the relationship of Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that when we were at Sinai, Mount Sinai, when we became Am Yisrael, Hashem held the mountain over our head, and it was like a chuppah. And there's many allusions in scripture, particularly in Shir HaShirim, to Am Yisrael being the bride, if you like, Hashem. Return, right, the Parashat Sota, the returning of the unfaithful woman, is Am Yisrael returning back to her first husband, etc. So Am Yisrael, yes, for sure, we are like, when we're in a marriage, it's a template to understand our relationship better between us and Hashem, to understand what it means to give, understand what it means to receive. Sorry? Yeah, the marriage was a shaka marriage. We got remarried properly in Purim. It's a what? The woman's side, the feminine side.
Because when you're not giving your wife honor,
we need to give our wife honor. We lead in the words of Rav Arush. There's a chapter in here which is one of the main chapters of the book we'll get to, Bezrat Hashem, called First Place. To put a wife ahead of everything. Wife has to be the primary, above everything, above the football game, obviously, but even above the things which aren't obvious, above shiurim, above even davening. If your wife needs you to stay at home and you can't go to the minyan, you have to do that. It's not ideal. It's not what we want. We don't do it if we have another choice. But a wife has to be first place. When we put a wife in first place, we're kilu putting the Shekhinah in first place. We're showing we can't put Hashem in first place in the same way. The marriage is that template where we work on ourselves, that I'm nothing. I'm cancelling myself completely to my wife. She's in first place. What she wants goes. My desires, my opinions, my lusts, my need to watch the football game, it's all cancelled. Cancelled for her. The same way to teach us about cancelling ourselves to Hashem. Binding with our wife, becoming one with our wife, is a reenactment of becoming one with Hashem. The love we have for our wife is to teach us the love we can have for Hashem.
For her too, the other way?
She doesn't need it. Women are in a very interesting position, right? The Ari explains that, the Ari Zal explains, Ari, HaKadosh explains that women are only here to help a man fulfill his tikkun. Women don't need to be here, they're only here to help us. Right? They fixed themselves long ago. They only came down into this terrible, disgusting world to be upset and hurt by us repeatedly in order to help us achieve our tikkun. We need to have a lot of mesiva nefesh. And we see that, but wait a minute. I asked this question of Rav Brody 2-3 years ago. I was speaking with Rav Brody and I said, I read this, I learned it, I think it brings it in here. That women only come down to this world to be our tikkun. They don't need to fix anything anymore. So I've got a question. If that's true, why is it that they suffer so much? They seem to suffer more than me. If they've got no tikkun to do, why do they need to suffer? So he said to me, good question. Do you want to know what the answer is? But the answer is, they're only suffering for you. They're taking your suffering. It's on your behalf, on our behalf. My wife suffers because she's taking the flak for me. Really, I should be taking that suffering. I can't deal with it. I haven't got the neshama to take it. I haven't got the vessels. I can't deal with it. My wife suffers instead of me. She takes it on herself. So every time my wife's suffering, she's actually doing it for me. She's doing a big kapara for me. She's taking the heat away from me. She's taking the flak. We have to be very nice to our wives. We owe them a lot. More than we know. A lot more than we know. Tov. We're in page 33 in the Hebrew version. Ha'isha hi mar'eh. The woman is a mirror. We're a few lines down on this page. And Rav Arosh is about to reveal to us the two fundamental principles of Shalom Bayit that were taught to him by Rav Eliezer Berlin, Shita, and upon which he based this whole book. This whole book is based on two fundamental principles. And he's going to reveal them to us now. And if we have these, and we really have them, not just we know what they are, we really understand what they mean, then mamash, we have everything. Okay, Yesod Rishon, the first principle that we need to know and engrave in our hearts, B'Shem HaArizal, given in the name of the Arizal, says as follows: Ha'isha hi ma'eh shel ha'gever. The woman is the mirror of the man. The woman is the mirror of the man. Lachen, therefore, I need to know that everything I see in my wife, not most things or some things or the occasional thing, everything I see in my wife, any lacking or anything like that, there is in that a message for me. Number two, Yesod Sheni, I will not criticize my wife in any criticism whatsoever. Afilu im ta'aseh et ha'avon ha'chamor b'yoteh. Even if she makes the worst sin in the world, or et ha'davah ha'norah b'yoteh, or does the worst thing that's not even a sin but just really bad in the world, I am not going to criticize her. Those two principles, you have Shalom Bayit. The rest of the book, in the words of Hillel, is Peirush. is explanation. The rest of the book, it explains in many different ways that you won't realize that how did you get that from there, but everything is coming out from there. Everything is coming out from these two principles. To really know and understand what these things mean, and we need a whole book of 340 pages to explain them, and every word in this book is absolutely necessary. These are what we need to know. Yes?
Shalom Bayit means that Hashem is in the middle, is in your house.
Right.
Right.
That's what Shalom Bayit is. Shalom Bayit means the Shekhinah is dwelling in our homes. Our homes should be a Mikdash Ma'at, a small Beit HaMikdash, where Hashem is dwelling. Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. Shalom Bayit means Hashem's in the home. Uma she'amali, she'b'chol ma she'era ishti, yesh b'zeh mesa b'shvili. That which I just said, that everything I see in my wife is there's a message for me. So I need to emphasize the following: that the message can be in any way. It can be in something which is between me and Hashem. For example, a message can be to teach me that there are, my Avodat Hashem is lacking, I have errors, I have problems in my Avodat Hashem, I'm not concentrating in prayer, I'm lacking in other areas of Ruchniyot. And he sees in his wife the same problem that he has. So for example, what's the Rav Arush saying? Rav Arush is saying that the message is coming to teach me from Hashem via my wife, who is the Shaliach, the main Shaliach in the world, to teach me what Hashem wants from me is my wife. How does she do that? First of all, she'll tell me straight out if I ask her, and even if I don't ask her. Tov, I should listen to the words that she's saying. But even if I don't listen to the words, I choose not to, I also listen to the words. Anything I see in her is a message for me. If I see the fact that my wife doesn't want to bench, that's a message for me. What I can do with me, she never even mentioned it, she just doesn't want to bench. It's her problem, it's nothing to do with me. Even more, I bench, so it's definitely not a message for me. She doesn't, I do. What's that? This book is obviously wrong. Throw it in the dustbin. Clearly, I've tripped you up, Rav Arush. My wife does a bench, I do. I don't have to listen to you anymore. We can close the book. No! It is exactly a message for me. What's the message for me? I might think I'm benching, but I'm not benching at all. I'm reading the word. Right? The message for me is, and we're going to see further on, we're just bringing examples at this point, but the message for me is in everything. The message for me is, in this case, for example, that actually I'm not really benching. The reason why my wife's not benching at all, because I have no kavanah in my benching. If I start to have kavanah in my benching, hey presto, she picks up a bencher and starts out of the blue without me saying nothing.
You see your wife making one kavanah.
Yes. Unfortunately, we have to say yes. Why? Why is it criticism? Because we have to point out that she made a mistake. If I can teach without pointing out a mistake, then it's good. It's teaching. It's not criticism. But if my teaching has to come back on the back of you did something wrong and I'm going to teach you how to do it right, then that necessarily means that I have to tell her she did something wrong. And that is forbidden. I cannot tell my wife, imply, hint, suggest, or anything that she ever did anything wrong. Can't. It's more damaging, even though I've got a good intention, and even though it's going to help, I'm doing more damage than I'm doing good. Later on, at another time, if I can find to, so let's say for example she was eating, I know, she was eating a banana and she didn't realize it was Adama and she thought it was eight. It's a common problem to mistake. So I'm not allowed to say should have been eight, you know. Right? She feels bad about herself. I made a brocha, bochla batala, I did wrong, I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not a good Jew. You don't know where it's going to take her. Right? Not a good path. Right? But I'm thinking, well, she's going to make a mistake again. For a start, it's not the end of the world. Even if she made that on that particular bracha, because Adama also covers eight, because it's from the ground too, but it's not the end of the world. But let's say it's something that I don't want her to make a mistake. So later on, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, I'm eating a banana. I can say, you know, I learned today that this is a bracha on eight. I never knew that. Yofi. And then everything's good. I've told her what I needed to tell her. And it's nothing to do with her, it's on me. That's get even better if I can make it my mistake. You know, I've been making a mistake the whole time and I thought this was Adama. And I now learned that it's eight. I make it even my problem, even better. Then there can be no hint that he's only doing this because he knows that I'm in. Right? There'll be no connection at all. If I'm clever and I pray, Hashem will open my mind to find a way that's not going to be hurtful or damaging. So everything is a mirror. Even where the fact that I can't see why it's a mirror is just me. I can tell you from my own experience that I've learned this book. Baruch Hashem, a few years ago when it came out, and I hold by everything that the rabbi says, Bezrat Hashem, I try. And I was looking at my wife and various things, different midot, and like, so for sure, yeah, that's me, for sure that's me, yeah. But some things, like one particular midah that I was thinking, no way, absolutely no way. I mean, it's just a midah, it's like a shita, a light, a way of dealing with an approach. Like, and her approach is this way, and I'm, right? And it's complete, it's like 360. How can that be? And I was like, Tom, left it. Recently, a few months ago, out of the blue, it came to me that, oh my gosh, that's exactly me. It was just so hidden within me that I didn't even know. I didn't even know that I actually, that was actually inside. And I was looking at it and thinking, no, I can't see it, no, it's not me. Can't see it, no, it's not me. But actually, it was clear, it was apparently clear, very clear to me, it wasn't me. 2 years later, 2.5, 3 years later, that was me, for sure that was me. I just couldn't see it. It wasn't time for Hashem to open my eyes for me to deal with it. It was an issue that I needed to deal with, still dealing with it now. Baruch Hashem, right? Very deep. Very deep. Everything that Rav Aris is saying here is 100% true. It's quoting from the Ari, right? And you can rely on it 100%. There's no flaws in the argument. If there's a flaw, it's in my brain because I don't understand. You're free. I don't understand. That's also good. Doesn't mean it's not true, everything he's saying. And so too with any other problems which the husband needs to work on. In many occasions, the wife is simply a mirror in relationship to her husband. Kagon, for example, im hu mekabed ota be'emet, if he, it works both ways, it's not just the lackings. Right, it's not just the lackings that show up in your wife that are really lackings in me, right? Also the opposite, if he respects his wife properly, truly, azai gamhi mekabedet oto, so too she will respect him, right? The positive stuff also comes back, but only if it's true, not if it's fake, right? If I'm being nice to my wife because I want something, and let's put it politely, let's say I wanted to make me a nice meal, right? And that's the polite version, but you'll know what you're talking about, right? If I'm doing that because I have my own hidden agenda, and I'm being nice to my wife, and she can't stand me, and she's being mean to me, and I'm being nice to her. Doesn't matter. However you want to look at it, truth is she knows exactly what's going on. And even if she doesn't know what's going on, her neshama knows exactly what's going on. And even if her neshama doesn't know what's going on, and they all do, Hashem knows exactly what's going on. And that's why you're not getting anything back. I might be treating her wonderfully, but it's not for genuine motives. It's my own personal self-interest. And that's why it's not being reflected. Because only the truth is reflected. Not the shtuyot, not the sheker, not all the nonsense I pretend to put out there. Here, have a cup of tea. Right? Where's my tea? I really want to make her the cup of tea. I'm only doing it so that, you know, fill in the blank. Then it's not going to be reflected. It has to come from truth. And if it's not being reflected, problem's with me. Problem's not with her. Right? Our problem is we try and blame our wives. Yeah, well, she's this, she's that. Here, I'm wonderful. Here I am, Mr. Sadik. And there she is with all those bad midot. Truth is, it's complete hefeh. It's completely opposite. My wife is actually the tzedeket, and I'm the one with all the bad midot. But Hashem is being so kind to me that maybe he's been kind. He hasn't actually opened my eyes yet to see all the areas I need to work on. Let's put it that way. And meanwhile, my wife suffers until, why is she so upset? Why is she so depressed? Why isn't she happy with her life? You're looking at the answer. It's not her fault. Mamash, it's not her fault. V'chein al zo haderech. And if I put my wife in first place, she'll put me in first place. Why is it that my wife spends more time on the phone talking to her friends than making me dinner, listening to me, washing my clothes, doing what I need, looking after me, being kind to me? Why is she doing that? I'm the husband, hello. I walk into the house, I'm like, hello, I'm here, I'm home. And then she's on the phone, like, yeah, 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 I'll speak to you later. Yeah, yeah, anyway, or Facebook for half an hour. I don't know what people get up to these days, unfortunately. Why is it that I don't get greeted with a wonderful, hey, my husband, how are you? Welcome home, so good to see you. Let me help you, make you a drink. Why don't she treat me like a king as soon as I walk in the house? Because I'm not treating her like a queen. I'm not treating her. If I treated her like a queen, lechore, it's obvious. As soon as I walk in the door, everything is going to be done for me. But only if I'm doing it properly, not because I want to be treated like a king. I now learn from today's class that if I wanted to be treated like a king, I need to treat her like a queen. So I'm going home and I'm saying, right, I'm treating you like a queen. Right? It's like the guy who wants kavod and he's looking over his shoulder. Right? The Chazal say that a person who chases kavod doesn't get kavod, doesn't get respect. The person who flees from respect gets respect. People respect him, someone who runs away from respect. So a guy comes to his rabbi and says, Rabbi, I learned that passage, and I know that a person that runs away from respect gets respect. I've been running away from respect for 20 years now, and there's no respect coming after me. And the rabbi said, because you're running away with one eye over your shoulder to see if they're following you. But it's not what it means. It doesn't work that way. Right? I have to work on that. I have to, believe it or not, have genuine good intentions. And if I don't have them right now, because that's fair enough. I wasn't born that way. I wasn't born as a tzaddik. If I was born as a tzaddik, Hashem wouldn't have put me into this world. He would have left me in Gan Eden with the rest of the tzaddikim. But no, he took me into this world because I'm not a tzaddik. Took me in this world because I have midot that need to be worked on. So right now, I don't have the midot of being nice to my wife. I don't. It just doesn't exist. It's not in there. I've tried. I tried it. It didn't work. I lasted 5 minutes. I got fed up. I got bored. I went and watched the football. I don't know. I tried. Yofi. It's okay. And it's good to admit it. In fact, I have to admit it. If I don't admit it, I'm not going to change it. If I pretend that I'm a tzaddik, and I love my wife like no one's ever loved their wife before, and I treat her like no one's ever treated their wife before, then I'm kidding myself. I'm lying. It's just not true. I have to say, no, actually, I don't treat my wife very nicely. I'm actually pretty selfish. I'm only nice to her when I want something. And I find it very difficult to be genuinely altruistically nice for absolutely no reason at all, to give genuine kindness. I find that very difficult, or almost impossible. I can't do it. What do I need to do with that? I need to say to Hashem, I can't do this. I don't know how to be nice. It's not in me. It wasn't there. You didn't give it to me. It's not one of the midot that you gifted me with. Hashem, I need you to change that. He's the only one who can change your midot. I can't go inside and do spiritual surgery on myself and give myself good midot. I can't do it. It's not in my capabilities. What am I going to do? I'm going to sit there and say, I've got good midot. I've got good midot. It's nonsense. It doesn't change nothing. The only one who can change the midot are the one who gave me them in the first place. And just like he changes everything else and can give me anything else physically, materially, if I want a job, I want a wife, I want more panasa, I want good health, I pray for it. I also pray for my midot. I also need to pray for my midot. They're from Hashem. My midot are from Hashem. The Yetzirah I have is from Hashem. He's a malach. He's not going anywhere. I can't fight the malach. I can't fight the Yetzirah. The Gemara says a person cannot beat their Yetzirah without Hashem's help. It's Mefurash in the Gemara. It says that. A person cannot beat their Yetzirah without Hashem. Without Hashem, we're losing. It's not an equal battle. It's not an equal battle. You're on the same level, and if I try really hard, I'm going to beat him. No. The Yetzirah is up here, and I'm down here. And I'm going to lose every time. unless the Gemara says specifically on the page, Hashem helps me. Boom. And if he doesn't help me, boom. I fail. I mess up. I'm mean to my wife. I look at women and I shouldn't. I'm angry at my kids. Fill in the blank, whatever Yetara I've got. Right? Why do I fail every time? Hashem's not helping me. Why is Hashem not helping me? Many reasons. He wants to make me humble and not make me think that I'm king of the world, because I'm not. He wants me to speak to him, to call out to him, to have a conversation with him. He wants me to know who's really in charge and it's not me. So he trips me up until I get the message. Finally I get the message, and I'm lying on the floor. And when I'm lying on the floor, I can look up to the sky and say, Hashem, help me, pick me up from here. I'm on the floor. Hashem says, Yofi. Reaches down a hand and he picks me up, and everything's good. And now suddenly, I can do all those things. Until what happens? Now I'm the greatest husband in the world. I'm doing everything for my wife. Because I can now do it. You're fair. I've got this ability to do it. What happens? I get gava. I get full of pride, arrogance. I get full of myself. Look at me, I'm the best husband in the world. I look down on my neighbors, husbands who are mean to their wives and haven't yet learned the secret. And I look down on them and I think I'm so superior because I know the truth and they don't. And what happens? Suddenly my shalom bayit is in the toilet like you've never seen before. What happened? That was going so well. I was doing everything right. I was following Rav Arish to the book, to the letter. Yeah, so I'll tell you what happened. What happened is you got arrogant. I got arrogant. Hashem says, that's not the way. That's not it. It's not it.
There's a very easy solution.
Yes.
Okay, though, where you come from, where are you going?
To remember that every day is very helpful. But we do that. When things are going well, we get arrogant. When things are going well, it doesn't matter if they're going well in business and we get arrogant, or they're going well in ruchniyot, spiritual matters, and we get arrogant. You know, if I daven Shmona Esrei and I follow the words of the Rav, and I daven an hour Shmona Esrei, everyone should try and do an hour Shmona Esrei, at least once a day, once a week, once a month, once a lifetime, just daven Shmona Esrei for 1 hour. It's an amazing experience. If I do that, it's wonderful. Yeah, but if I come away and think, hey, I did an hour Shmona Esrei, I'm really a tzaddik and you're a loser because you did it. Oy vavoy. I'm missing the point, and Hashem is going to have to bring out the stumbling blocks in a big way, right? Because you know what? Rabbi Nachman says the whole world's a narrow bridge. To the left or to the right. It's not. It's tough. It's tough being a Jew. No one says it's going to be easy. No one says that once you start doing things right, then everything goes smoothly. No. You can also fall when everything's going up. When everything's going great, you can also fall. We're on a narrow bridge. We have to be careful. We've got a job to do. Hashem wants a lot of us. It's not easy to be a Jew. It's really great. It's a lot of reward and a lot of... No, got a good job to do, but it's not easy. Shnei Sodot Elu, these two principles that we learned, right? The first, that a wife is a mirror, and the second, never to criticize. Taluim Zebazet, they each depend on each other. Codependent, interdependent. Kimeachal Chol Chisaron, Sheroet Salishto, Hu Chisaron Shalom. Because since every lacking a person sees in his wife, is really his own lacking. Mimela ein labal lenasot letaken et hachesonot et selishto. This is a really big rule. Since the fact that each depend on the other, and the fact is that the lackings in my wife are lackings in me, then there is no point trying to fix the mirror. There is no point trying to fix the mirror. I'm dealing with the side of the story here. If I try to fix the mirror, I'm just going to break stuff. I'm going to make a mess, and I'm not going to fix the root. Even if the mirror changes because she prefers an easy life or whatever, And now I tell my wife that she needs to bench. You need to bench. You have a problem in your Yiddishkeit. You're not abiding by halacha. It's doraita after bread you need to bench. Tov? That sounds good, right? And really it's in me, right? My benching, I might be reading the words, but I'm not benching. And I get my wife to change. For a start, I'm on the way to destroying my marriage in a big way, right? And even if she does, I'm not fixing the root. I've just missed completely the whole message. The message was for me. Hashem was trying to teach me something to help me in my own avodah. But Hashem doesn't work with emails and billboards. Hashem works in the way that Hashem created the world, which is via my wife and messages. He doesn't send me an email to say, Reuven, you should know that your benching this morning wasn't really so great. He doesn't do that. He does it via a different way. But if I don't listen to the messages, well then, either, one of two things, either the message gets louder, instead of knocking on the door with a subtle message, being that my wife is not benching, and I need to understand and learn from my mirror. So instead of the subtle message, so what happens? I need to have a louder message. What's the louder message? Who knows where it's going to be? Maybe I can't bench anymore.
Maybe what?
I can't bench anymore.
Maybe I can't.
I'm going to send everyone down. Everyone should now go down to Rav Tokaya's Shir, which is starting right now. Thank you. We'll continue tomorrow.